All right. Well, tonight we're going to go back into our teaching. We're teaching and growing up spiritually. We had started last week talk about the characteristics of manhood, in other words, the development to spiritual maturity. We looked at some things last week. We talked about a person who's mature, they esteem earthly things lightly, is one of the things. They're not dominated. It's not, you know, it's one of the things that the scriptures teach us, all the things that God desires to bless us with, God desires to do for us and stuff. But I watched over the years, when I came into the kingdom, I started to see this happen, especially as it got up around in the early 1990s. It became more important about getting stuff than it was God. There's a lot of excess in the areas of the teachings about things and getting stuff where people, you know, just became where the gospel that was preached was so you could get better stuff, so you could have new cars, new houses, all this kind. That's why you got saved. And people, they got away from the gospel and they began to preach another Jesus. One of the things that you'll find is spiritual maturity leads you to the place where you're not driven by stuff. That's not the most important thing on the top of the agenda. Because if it is, you're always going to lack in faith. You're always going to lack in... Faith is about what God can do, not what I can get. So, people are always, you know, focused into those areas. And even it's like, what's the purpose of having things? Most people that want to be healed don't want to be healed to serve God. They want to be healed to live their own life. That's why they want to be healed. They want to be healed so they can do what they want. You know, I want to be well so I can just sort of, you know, I can come and go like I please and all that kind of, they want to do. And I remember when I was a young Christian, Kenneth Hagin had told a story about he was ministering with another minister in a church. And they had you know, a pretty large place. They had a lot of people they were ministering to. And so him and this other minister were ministering healing together to people and that stuff because he had numbers of people to minister to. He said, like with yourself, lots of times, like I know with myself, if they, like say the healing anointing is an operation or something like that, lots of times I touch a person, I know things. I just, you know, it just goes with the gift. I don't try to think to know something. You just seem to do. You know things. But anyhow, this minister laid hands on this young lady and then stopped and he said to her, what her problem was, and which I think the Lord probably had revealed to it. And anyhow, she had problem with her arm and that stuff. And then he said to her, he said, why do you want to be healed? She said, so I can play tennis. And he said to her, he said, go sit down. You ain't getting healed. He said, you need to want to serve God. He said, you don't need healed just to play tennis. And see, you know, God brought something out concerning her. She wasn't interested. You know, there's nothing wrong with playing tennis, but there's one thing. That ain't the top agenda. See, most people, we miss a lot today. A lot of times people don't realize that motives can be wrong. You know, when you're a baby Christian, you might get by with a lot of different things. But that'll only be for a time. You won't continually get away with things. You're going to have to, why do you want what you want? There's a lot of people in the areas of whether it's money or whatever, what do they want it for? What's their real motive of why they want what they want? There's one thing about it, and Randall Greer says this often, and I agree with him on it. He says, you know, the devil will give you money if you won't use it for God. He'll help you get it. There's lots of people don't realize the devil will help put things into your hands if he knows you just use it for your own selfish, self-centered purpose. He'll help you get it. And so people need to understand these things if they need to get it, you know, concerning the Word of God. That's why is developing into maturity leads you in the place. You're not driven by those things. You're really the driving of your life is about what God wants. And what he's doing, and finding out the will of God and following those. One of the other things, though, we talked about was the deadness to criticism and praise. And that's really a big one in our society today. You know, there's a lot of, especially you see this, people, you know, want to be noticed all the time. It's one of the big things that we have, you know. It's like, you know, somebody does something, you know, it's always this, you know, honoring. People get upset. I know over the years, even as a Christian, people come along and upset they did something and nobody recognized them for it. Well, so what did you do it for anyhow? What was the purpose that you did it? I see a lot of people there, they have to be praised, you know. If they do something, we got to have a pat on the back, you know. I just, And you have to lose that. If you want to develop, you got to lose that thing. Is why do you do what you do? Do you do right to be noticed? Is that what you do it for? You know? So a lot of people do. They do what they do to be noticed for what they do. They're not doing it, you know. You see it all the time. Do you know, if you take most people and they're giving it to in Christianity, they give it to be noticed. You know, they're giving, you know, because you can tell by, you know, they'll say, well, you know, we're doing this thing, you know, you get your name on a plaque, you get this or you get that or doing it. Or if you give, you know, you get put on this honored list and you get this kind of thing. And people do it all the time. And ministries have learned to do that because they know a lot of people. Hey, I get my name on something. I'll give if I get noticed, you know. And they don't realize what Jesus made mention. He talked about the ones who outgive to be noticed. He said, that's your reward. The pat on the back's your reward. You don't have no reward in heaven for that giving that. No reward. Your reward is you got noticed. That's your reward. That's what you wanted. That's what you get. And see, sometimes people, they say, I don't know, I've been given and it don't work. And you may want to check the motives of why you've been given. Why it ain't working. What's the purpose in it? You know, did you really want to further the kingdom? Did you really? What was it? But especially in the areas of criticism, doing right, especially today, we're so interested in what everybody else thinks. Everybody else thinks. And so people won't do that unless, you know, I don't want to be criticized. I don't want anybody to think bad of me. I don't want to be, I want people to like me. Well, you know, Jesus, you're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. So you're going to live godly, you're going to suffer persecution. So, you come to the thing, well, am I going to live godly or am I going to make people happy? What am I going to do? But, you know, criticism, and you just come to place. It doesn't matter. When you do what's right, you need to learn to be satisfied. And that's where maturity comes from. You did what's right. And you become satisfied just with that in that itself. To do that is I did what was the right thing to do. Whether anybody notices or anybody does, is doing the right thing. And, you know, it's, I always think about you because the Bible tells us, you know, that, and Jesus said himself concerning praying in secrecy, he said, you'll be rewarded openly. In other words, God will reward you as a thing. You don't have to go blow your horn. You don't have to go out to everybody. You don't have to do that. But there seems to be that things. People have the idea that God, you know, if you can get out here and get noticed, they want to be noticed by people. And, it's one of the things you will find this that, God won't be able to trust you with very much. Because if you have to always be noticed by people, you'll probably not obey God on a lot of things because you'll end up getting over to doing whatever keeps people happy to notice you. And so you just don't want to do those things. There is all kinds of things from the time that I was first a young Christian, that stuff. And spend a lot of time dealing in the areas of prayer. God had me pray about a lot of things and over the years and stuff. And things came to pass and happened. And I never told anybody about it. People never knew about it. Never knew nothing. And I didn't, you know, I just, you know, it's just what God tells you to do. It's one of the things, many times people want to be used, but they want to be seen used. And it's one of the things of it is, if you don't get over in the areas where you are not willing to be used by God without a pat on the back, you probably won't get out into the... It wouldn't be good to put you out in the public much. God wouldn't. The devil might. But God wouldn't. Because it isn't about making anybody a star. It's, you know... we have enough stars, you know. We have enough people out here with big names. And one of the things that we're looking at, we'll look at example. One of the examples we're going to look at in Scripture is we're going to go to Genesis. We're going to look from Genesis, but we're going to talk about Joseph because of looking at someone who was an excellent example of ones that you things that you want to follow after. And from me, like in the Old Testament, one of my favorites in the Old Testament. As I always liked Joseph's father, Jacob. I always liked Jacob. Jacob was after God, and anybody stood in the way, it was too bad. He was, but he was the type of guy, when he set himself to get something, you know, he wasn't going to let anything stand in his way. He wanted a wife. He wanted Rachel. And he let nothing. This man this man went for 10 years to get this woman he wanted. He wouldn't move, change what he was doing. In other words, he was a person, when he set himself a goal to go after, he didn't quit because circumstances changed or anything like that. There's one of the qualities of maturity. One of the great qualities of maturity is being in that area. Most people, most Christians will have a hard time standing for 6 months for anything. They just can't do it. They just can't stand. You got to come to the point of, you know, sometimes people say they want things, but what will you do to go after the things that you said, you know, the desires of your heart and that stuff? And is like, what would you do for it? You know, what would you really, you know, people talk about having faith. But it's like, you know, Kenneth Hagin, I learned from him. He said, you know, God expects Christians to have a backbone like a crowbar. And he says, most Christians' backbone's like a string. In other words, you come to the place where you stand. It's just like with following the God in anything, you know, anything God has put in your life. The Lord spoke to me, you know, about numbers of things concerning ministry back when I first got born again. And, you know, it took years and years of believing God to come to the place where you start to walk in these things. And along the way, you have a lot of opportunities to quit. You have a lot of opportunities to stop and not doing it. But you got to come to your place yourself. You got to come to maturity. You know, is today people so easily quit on things and, you know, everything becomes too tough for people today. It becomes too hard. People can't take things, you know. We need to come to the place, because in the areas of spiritual maturity, to develop, you know, into things, just sort of, you know, it's like this. I mean, naturally in life, if there's things that you want to attain, it's going to take some main thing. It's going to take some major things to achieve it. It's going to take some really work. If you take people in businesses who went out here and what they may have gone through to start a business and get that thing running, the years of labor and work, and they work at things, and today we live in a society that everybody wants what they have, but they want it now, you know? Like, we've raised generations of children that they expect to have what their parents have right now. They expect that. They don't expect to go for 10, 15, 20 years to start to develop anything. No, we should have it right now. We should get it right now. And so that is really a sign of immaturity. And spiritually, it's exactly the same way. It's no different. The idea that you're going to arrive at a place, that you're going to get there in some short period of time where somebody has walked for years to be. You know, when I started listening to Kenneth Hagin's teaching, I just had the idea that I was going to have to do what he did to get where he was. I expected it's going to take a lot of years to get himself set to walking in things. I didn't expect to happen overnight. I didn't expect everything just to be, you know, take place. I figured it's going to take time to grow. But most people aren't like that. You know, they expect to go to a meeting and hear something, and tomorrow I just got it and I'm out doing it. And that's foolishness and that's childishness and that's really being a baby. Now, I expect that out of a little kid. A little kid would think, you know, yeah, I'm going to just do what daddy does, you know, right now. You know, I always think about Braden when he was little, and I'd watch Braden and that stuff, and he's just a little tyke, and he used to get the eye, he'd see me do something, and boy, he'd go try it. And it used to frustrate him. It just didn't work. He thought, Papa, I'll do it, you know. But he's not going to. He has to mature into things to be able to do stuff. And I just don't understand people today in Christianity, the realizing the work it takes, you know. That's what I always tell people, it's going to cost you your life to live this thing. It's not something that's going to happen. You're not going to listen to a couple teachings and then you just got it, you know. My words, I mean, I'd hate to think, you know, you went to a doctor and he just, you know, had four teachings on something and that was it. He just became the doctor. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't want to see him. I don't want him messing with me. But Christians have this idea that they're just going to play around, show up to church sometimes or not, or just, you know, it don't matter what I do, and I'm just doing my thing, and, you know, I'll go to school, you know, I'll show up two or three times, and then, you know, we're just going to end up geniuses, you know, we're going to end up smart, really know how to do things, you know, it don't happen. And it don't happen spiritually either. We need to know there's a lot of things about the natural side and the spiritual side that are identical in how they work. It's because the natural side came out of the spiritual side. So a lot of those laws of the spirit operate over in the natural about things. And so you got to come to that thing. This is a lot of work, you know. I think about all the time that I put into study. I mean, have I been wasting my time? Have I been, you know, wasting my time doing it? Should I just have slacked off and just go and sit around and just, you know, well, I get up in the morning and I read the Bible every day. I read two chapters. I tell you what, I'm just gonna, you know, well, I'm gonna tell you what, you ain't gonna be the brain surgeon reading two chapters. I mean, just forget it. Ain't happening. It won't take place. I mean, I think all the classes I sat in, all the things that I did over the years of listening, all the studying that I did, my God. You know, it's one thing is when I went to Bible school to me was very easy from the studying standpoint because I'd spent as much time studying before I went as I did when I got there. And then I listened to all these students complain about, oh man, all this studying you got to do. And I thought, you know what they're going to do when Bible school's over? They're going to go back to their lazy life again and they ain't going to study. That's most Christians. They'll study something if they have to. You know, I'll get out the Bible and start reading, meditating scriptures. I'm not feeling good today. So I'm going to be, but as soon as I feel better, burn that Bible. We ain't looking at that sucker no more. Not till the next time something comes up. Then we'll get out and play like we're spiritual. Then we'll get out and do the thing again. Don't work that way. And is understanding those things. We're talking about maturity. And we want to look at Joseph. One of the things is we see traits concerning Joseph that we can look into the spiritual person. Joseph had a very interesting life. One of the things that I encourage you in reading, Joseph's life starts in Genesis, the 37th chapter, really goes to the end of Genesis, there to the 50th chapter. But Joseph's life's very interesting. His number one, you need to understand about people in the book of Genesis. They didn't have the law. So God didn't measure them according to the law. So you shouldn't either when you read it. Or you shouldn't measure them according to what we have in our covenant in grace. They didn't have the law. They weren't given those things. There's things that you need to understand this. They were living under promise. So in Genesis, they were living a lot like our covenant from the standpoint, our covenant is a covenant of promise. Our covenant is not law. People go back over and read Genesis and they read it as law. It wasn't law. Genesis wasn't law. It was promise. So Abraham's descendants, God did what he did to them for them because of his promise to Abraham. He didn't do it because they did everything right. One of the things that God really liked about Jacob is Jacob was a go-after. He wanted the promise. He wanted it. He was after it. That's what God liked. God made a promise and he wanted to carry that promise. That's what he wanted to do. And so God liked that. We have Joseph. Joseph is a guy who comes along and we have the story of Joseph. We find out he's Jacob's son. His mom was Rachel. She had two children, and if we look at him, he was born really as one of the youngest. Benjamin was the youngest. He was the next and youngest in line. Really, the story of him really starts when he was 17 years old. He's about 17 years old. But one of the things we find out about him is he's really a person of integrity. Now, know this, he was a prophet. He was a prophet. Prophets, the scriptures tell us, they have visions and dreams. And he was one of those, and he was a prophet. We want to see something about him. Now, we need to understand this. No one, because of ministry gift, becomes a good person, a God follower, because you have a ministry gift. That has nothing to do with nothing. Just because he was a prophet didn't make him what he was. Because we look at his character, the type of person he is, and if it was something that was because he was a prophet, then we would have to sit down and say, well, then, you know, then God did this thing, and so we shouldn't say anything. Joseph, you know, he's a nothing because he didn't do none of this. He wasn't, but he was. We want to see things about his quality of the person that he was, is why God could do through him in the ministry he was called to and carry it out. That's what's so important about this story. Now, he was a person of real integrity. And you need to know as in maturity, this is one thing you have to become as a person of integrity. Number one, you must be a person of your word. If you tell somebody you're going to do something, you best do it. You don't come back to somebody after you told something, said they were going to do something, and say, oh, I can't do that now, I'm going to do this, or we're going to be doing that, and we're going to be... Well, you just lied to that person. When you gave your word to a person, you never break your word, unless without them giving you the approval to do so. You told somebody something, you don't. Your faith ain't going to work. Don't be surprised that faith doesn't work. Faith is based on the integrity of your voice. And if your voice has no integrity, things ain't going to work. You have to learn to do it. It's one of the things I've watched over the years is how many times that people come along and they promise things. They say, well, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. And next day, well, you know, God told me to go do this now and I'm going to... Hold it. You gave your word. Don't throw the God thing out there. You gave your word to somebody. And so it's important that you carry out your word. You have to learn to do that. Because if you don't, you're going to do the same thing when you're using your faith. As soon as some pressure comes along, you're going to be doing something. Well, I guess God is not going to do that because of, and you'll go through your little shenanigans and go through your stuff. You learn to stick with your word. You put your word out. Your word counts. It comes to the point. The Holy Spirit brings to pass the words you believe in your heart and say with your mouth. And if you're a person who doesn't do that, he was a person of integrity. His integrity didn't just carry out in what he said. It carried out in what he did with around people. Because we found out because his father could trust him with his property. See, he was one, if you read the story, we're not going to go down and read all the story through the thing. But his father could trust him. He couldn't trust his brothers with his property. They couldn't be trusted. You read the story about his brothers, they were pretty much scoundrels. But he was a person of integrity. Now, here he is, the second youngest, and his father can look to him to oversee things. But he can't look to the older brothers. Now, I want you to think about this. The older brothers had the same opportunity to learn as the same way as Joseph did. They had the same father. They were taught the same stuff. They just chose not to follow it. You know, Joseph didn't come along and all of a sudden he was just Mr. Smart. He just knew what to do. He followed things he was taught to do. Now, we see this pattern in him because here he was sold into slavery by his brothers. His brothers, wonderful brothers, wanted to kill him. He was sold into slavery and he went to Potiphar's house. But as a slave to his master, he was completely trustworthy with the property of his master. He was trustworthy. And we find it is just like with him being so trustworthy, where Potiphar put him over everything in his home and said he didn't even bother checking on anything of his stuff himself. He could completely trust. He could trust Joseph. So he was trustworthy. As a slave, he was trustworthy. So let's put it with this, okay? We may not concerning, like we might be slaves and we have slaves in our country, but you work for somebody. You're under authority to somebody. See, are you trustworthy with the things they gave you to be responsible for? That's a sign of maturity. If you aren't responsible for the things that are put in your hand, this is one of the things is really learning to teach children these things when they're little. Start to teaching them trustworthiness of things that they're put in charge of. See, people don't do that lots of times. Their kids grow up in an aunt till 15 years old till they start wanting to be trustworthy. It's too late now. You've taught them all these years. They were never responsible for anything. You make them responsible for things and they prove out their trustworthiness. You know, Jesus, this wild, crazy man, he said that if somebody isn't faithful with little, is not going to be faithful with much. Well, we see over here Joseph, he was faithful. We find that Joseph, as a prisoner in jail, was again trustworthy with the jailer, the guy who was in charge of the prison, ended up putting all the responsibility, gave him the responsibility to run everything in prison, and he did. He was trustworthy with that responsibility. You know, here's one thing. You'll find out whether you can measure yourself to see if you mature. Does the situations that you are involved in change how you act? Joseph never changed. Joseph didn't become a lousy person because he was treated lousy. He maintained his integrity all the time, no matter what situation he was in. He didn't let his brother sell him. He was, you know, Potiphar's wife lied about him. And he went off to prison, but you know what? He was still trustworthy. He didn't say, what's the point? What's the point of doing right? I've heard Christians say that. What's the point? We do what's right and things, everything goes wrong anyhow. And so what they're telling me is I don't stick with nothing. I ain't going to do what's right. I'm going to be like the world. They wonder why things don't work. See, you don't do that. You keep. Don't get weary in well-doing. In due season, you'll reap. If you haven't reaped in due season, we know you got weary and you quit doing what was right. Good preaching. Sometimes, I mean, understand, he stood a long time. From the time he was 17 years old, and he was when he got sold into slavery, and he was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. And he hadn't changed. Boy, I want to be Joseph, don't you? I want to be a Joseph. Well, you can be. You decide that. God don't decide that. You don't get that because God gives you a special anointing. That ain't where it happens. You decide that I'm going to do what's right. And I'm going to tell you what. It's work. It is. It requires work. But he stayed with it. Well, he was not only faithful to the jailer when Pharaoh put him in charge of the kingdom. Pharaoh said to him, I'm going to put you over everything. You're over everything. The only thing he said is concerning my house. I'm the king. Everything else concerning the land, I'm going to put it all into your hands and you get to run it. And he was trustworthy with it. Do you know that he made everybody he worked for rich? He made Potiphar rich. He down there took care of everything in the jail, made everything run great, the Bible says. He made Pharaoh so rich, Pharaoh ended up owning all the land in Egypt. Read the scriptures. Through what he did for Pharaoh ended up owning all the property of Egypt. Pharaoh did. You know, the Bible says, you know, God blessed Potiphar because of Joseph. See, his integrity and everything and God's working, God blessed Potiphar because he had him in his house. You see, we should be the blessing to the business we work for. We should be the place we're working for. We should be the blessing. They should be glad to have us. But then we should be great employees. We should really be good. We should be the best. We should be the best. And I don't care what it is you do in life. Whatever you're into, you should be the best at it. Anything people do is just to get by. You don't want to do get by. Because I'm going to tell you, just like with me, I know people worked for me when I worked at Reese's and you had the get by people. And you know what? I never put any get by people in for promotion. They never got in for any promotion. You know why? Because they cost me time and effort to get by people. Because they did enough to get by, and lots of times it wasn't even enough to get by. And you had to end up having things done that were supposed to be done that they didn't do, and you'd have those things go on. We should be people. You know, it's one thing, as an employee, I never had to be told to do things. When things needed to be done and I saw them, I'd do them. This needs to be done. Let's get it done. When people just, everybody, you know, just, you know. Well, nobody wants to do that. Nobody does it. Well, you can do those kinds of things. But, you know, it isn't the way. You know, it's one thing. I remember when they one of the times they wanted to put a, they're trying to get, some people wanted to get a union in Reese's. And it was funny because the people that wanted the union in, they needed a union because they should have been fired. And they said, it's a guy, one of these union reps said to me about, oh, don't you worry about losing your job. I said, lose my job. I said, it'd be crazy to fire me. Why would you fire one of your best workers? What would you do that for? I said, it'd be stupid. You know, I wanted the company to prosper. I never complained about the company making money. Anybody complains about the company and the company making money, you ought to be fired. I said, you ain't making no money. You ain't going to have a job. What idiot thinks like that? Well, socialists do. Socialists are morons and idiots. And, well, Shad, a lot of Christians are in there, a lot of Christian socialists, you know. They're against people making money. But they're always trying to get something themselves. I'm for people prospering. You know, I want companies to, you know, I used to tell people, man, I want the company to prosper. I said, it's job security. I said, you know, the more they prosper, I said, they give me raises all the time. They give me raises every year. They give me raises. I said, why would I want them not to prosper? I want them to prosper. You know, it's so. But Joseph moved along. So Joseph was a blessing. It's one of the things that you need to, if you want to walk where he walked in this area. So Joseph is one who could be trusted. He was loyal and he was obedient to the authorities that were over him. He was loyal and obedient. You have to have a loyalty. There must be a loyalty. You ought to have that within you, loyalty. We have very little of that today, of loyalty. People don't have loyalties today. They're not loyal to too much. I mean, we look in our nation. I mean, most of the Christians ain't even loyal to our country. You know, they think that somehow you're not supposed to be. There's some kind of spiritual something or other God don't want you to be. You know, well, we don't get involved with this or that. Well, go ahead. Don't get involved. Just be one of the pagans. You know, there needs to be a loyalty. We look at Joseph. He was sitting in a heathen nation, but he was loyal to them. And his integrity blessed his life. That's why a lot of Christians don't get blessed, because they have no loyalties. They think somehow, I don't know how people get into it. I mean, I was born and raised around people, and they just thought, you know, that all the things with, you know, political offices and everything like that. Oh, you just stay away from everything, and you know, they were never really a part of the nation. They never blessed the nation either. The nation was never blessed by them. People are on the outside of it, they praying for the nation. They don't care. They're self-centered, selfish. And really, that's what I was born and raised in. Now, they thought they were really great people. You know, they wore all the right clothes, had the right coverings on their heads and all this kind of stuff. But they had no loyalty at all. They had no loyalty whatsoever. And they don't realize the nation has been affected by this stuff. By people who just don't have any loyalty. God will bless a nation because of the Christian. But the Christian has to be a blessing to the nation. We see Joseph was a blessing to everything that he went to, and God blessed those nations, and in doing it, blessed him and blessed his offspring. And so we want our offspring blessed, don't we? You know, all these people, you know, I hear people talk about, you know, America, like they want America to, you know, financially collapse and stuff. Well, you're living in it, and if it does, it's going to cost you. If it collapses, your lunch goes too. You know? I can't believe people are so stupid. Yeah, God will bless this nation because we're here. But we got to speak and say the right stuff. We got to talk and believe the right things. You know? It's one of the things. I remember when listening to a guy talking about when the Lord had spoken to him about Trump when he was first running for president, and right about the time that he was elected. But the guy had said about the Lord told him that Trump would become president, and he said to him, one of the big things that is, he said that the economy of our nation was going to take off with him being president. He said it would. In other words, the nation was going to be blessed because of Trump. There's a lot of people that makes them mad, you know. Even Christians makes them mad, you know. They want. There's all kind of Christians that want judgment to fall, but they don't realize if it falls, you're going to get it too. Things fall apart; they fall apart for you too. And so, last time I checked, I live here. That hurts. I mean, so. But we need, if we follow along with Joseph, in other words, we have a pattern here that we see in this integrity, that wherever Joseph went, the blessing of God went. Why? What would that work for them under there, and it wouldn't work for us? See, it should work. It should work for us. It should work. You know, I always believed, you know, the places that I worked is it would be stupid. Because God wants to bless me, so if I go somewhere, then the blessing is going to be there. Yeah, I remember Kenneth Hagin talked about in ministry. He said, he talked about, especially in his areas, he was out of the prophet's ministry, how God would use the prophet's ministry in him. He said, when years ago, when he used to travel, and he would stay in people's homes way back yonder, you know, they didn't have a lot of motels and stuff around in places. But he said, I never stayed in somebody's home that it wasn't a problem or something happened. He said that God didn't use me to bless them while I was there. Never once. So see, whenever he went, he was being a blessing. He was being a blessing to whomever, wherever he was around or whatever he did. It caused a blessing. And so it should be the same with us. It should be that a blessing would come because we're there. I know we don't see ourselves like that. We see with Joseph, wherever he went, they were blessed. So we should see that. But we should be a blessing to them, and we see he was a blessing in what he did. One of the things that we find out about Joseph and what we're going to go over and read some of the scriptures in, and I want you to get a hold of this, because Joseph recognized God's work in him. He recognized it. He knew when God was working. He understood it. This is something that lots of times people don't know. And this is one of the things of staying over the areas of being spiritual. When people get away from spirituality and let the problems and things that happen to them get to them, what happens, they usually get away from what's working inside of them, and they don't realize what God's doing. All they're so focused on the problems that they see or the things that are happening to them. We find that Joseph didn't go there. Joseph didn't get to that place. Thank God he didn't. Joseph ended up being a great blessing because of him doing what he did, God blessed the whole nation of Israel and out of what he did. So, but one of the things that he didn't do, we're going to find, but the things we read, he didn't take credit for what God did. He didn't take credit for what God did. So he didn't take God's glory to himself. He always gave God the glory, and we want to see this. This is one of the things. He recognized God's working in him, and he recognized God did it. This is one of the things as we go over when Joseph ended up in prison because of Potiphar's wife, if you go over and read the story. And while he was in prison, he was there, and he met in the Genesis, the 40th chapter. We're going to go there. There were two. There was a baker and the guy who held the cup for the, who gave the Pharaoh his wine cup. So he was a steward in the house. He was an, they called him in scripture, called him officers. And they had dreams. Both of them had dreams, if you go back and read about it. And anyhow, they had these dreams, and Joseph came to them, and I want to read two verses, because we can see something that Joseph understood. And in Genesis, the 40th chapter, verse 7, says, so he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his Lord's house, saying, why do you look so sad today? And they said to him, we each have had a dream. There's no interpreter of it. So Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please. He said, in other words, interpretations belong to God. He recognized, and he didn't say, he said, oh, hey, man, I got interpretation. I got this. I have this gift. I'm a prophet. I got this thing. He didn't do that. And we need to understand this. One of the things that you need to come grow in the areas of maturity of whatever God's called you to do, God has gifted and given grace for you to do that, and it requires that grace to do it. If you can do it without Him, you don't need God. And I will guarantee you, whatever God would call or ask you to do, you're not going to have the ability to do it. He don't call people to do what they can do. Well, you wouldn't need any grace. Why would you need grace for what you can do? Well, what's the point of that? God's not interested in your talent. He's interested in your obedience. He's interested in obeying, because we'd go over look at, especially if you go into the areas of looking in the like say the book of Judges and different things, and you look at people, the things that God had people do, and God worked through people. The seeing the hand of God working on people who were just, you know, everyday people and what they turned, God turned them into. And we need to get to the same place where we see the same things within ourselves if God wants us to do something, is always keep yourself in the position where you see is like here, any gift. Like I've heard over the years, people come and say, well, I have a gift of healing. Say, no, you don't. The Bible says concerning gifts of healing, they're giving us the spirit will. So you don't have it. If you had it and you could have it, then you could just turn that thing on and off. Let me see you do it. You can't. It's a work of God. And you have to recognize that fact. You take glory to yourself. I've heard people say, you know, you have a this or you have a that. I don't care what it is. I don't care if God is just like me, the teaching gift. Without the anointing, it don't work. It's just, it's God. I didn't have this till God anointed me with it. It's God's working. This is not a natural talent. You don't get naturally talented at God's gifts. You learn to yield to the anointing more is how you get better at it. You don't get better at it because you get talented. They can't teach this stuff in school. You know, this is one of the funniest things I always thought was when I went to Rhema, because we'd have these classes on how to preach and that stuff, how to put a message together, and you always had the 3 points, and then you're going to, you know, this thing, always do this thing, and you have an introduction, 3 points, and then you have your closure thing on it. They always do that. And I always found out that the good preachers and teachers never do it. So, why? Because you get over to it. You could sit down and put all this stuff together, and it's you. It's your talent. But if the anointing's not there, what you say may even be true, but it may not produce a thing. What produces is the anointing. That's what produces. This is why things don't produce for people. Because they have no anointing. It's all about theirs. They didn't ask God what to do or what to, you know. It's, you know, just like last Sunday. I mean, I just, you know, God had what he wanted to do in that service. And I didn't know exactly, but he just told me something he wanted to do. And I don't know how this thing's going to fit. He just said to me, you'll know when you need to do it. You'll know. Okay. Well, see, you got to walk by faith. So I can't do it by talent. I don't know when to do it. I don't even know how he's going to do it. What's the point he wants to bring across about it? You know, what's he going to do? And so you got to come to that place. This is where... we're looking at this thing here with Joseph. Joseph's operating in this area. He tells them, he says, you know, interpretation belongs to God. Now, Daniel was identical the same way. In fact, we found Daniel when he went before Nebuchadnezzar, and Daniel had done the same thing. And Daniel, in the second chapter, Nebuchadnezzar was going to kill all the wise men and everything because they couldn't tell him what his dream was. They couldn't say it. Couldn't tell it. And he was going to kill all the magicians and soothsayers and everything. And in the second chapter, verse 28, he said, here's what he said to the king. There's a God in heaven who reveals secrets. And he has made known to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, what will be in the latter days. He said, your dream and your vision of your head upon your bed were these. And he went on to say down in verse 30, he said, but as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living. But for our sake, who made known the interpretation to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your heart. You know what? God didn't even give that. From what we find here that Daniel says, Daniel said, you know, this wasn't just for me. This was for you. God did this for you, King. You see, gifts and manifestations of the Spirit, they're not to make you into something. They're to reveal things and work things for people. This is why today, I believe, ministry-wise, it's very hard for a lot of people, the Christians, because they're always into what's in it for them. What's this do for me? You know, one of the main reasons I studied healing so much and spent time is so I can minister healing. Most people, it's all about getting themselves something. It's like the Lord spoke to me. I said to the Lord one time, I said, why do you give me so much revelation in the Word? I said, I read things and you just give me so much revelation. Why do you do that? He said, because when you get revelation, you give it away. So a lot of people don't do it. A lot of people just self-centered suffer. They think all this stuff is just for them so they can just have a better life. If you ain't going to give anybody else a better life, you don't even need a life. It's about giving somebody else one. You know, this thing's about giving away. I mean, That's what we want to do. We want to bless somebody else. We want to do something. Daniel understood the disinterpretation, what it was for. And it wasn't him. It's not because I'm the smart guy in the bunch. This came from God. And understand that. This is why the scripture and Paul wrote, Paul said that God doesn't choose many wise. That's why he doesn't. Because the guy who thinks he's smart, he still thinks he's doing what he's doing because he's smart. No, he ain't. And what happens? He won't give glory to God. He'll glorify himself, thinking it's him. Now, we find also, if we back in Genesis, the 41st chapter, when Joseph came before Pharaoh again, in the 41st chapter of Genesis, Pharaoh comes. Pharaoh has his two dreams that he has. And so they call Joseph in. They want an interpretation of this dream and the king's cupbearer for 2 years hadn't told what had gone on and hadn't helped Joseph out, but this thing came up, and so, you know, God's working in this thing to bring blessing. But it says in verse 14, it says, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon, and he shaved, changed his clothes, and came to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not me. God will give Pharaoh an answer apiece. God will. It's not me. I don't interpret dreams. You know, it's like Kenneth Hagin used to talk about healing. Now, God had given him a special anointing for healing. But like Kenneth Hagin would always say, I can't heal a gnat, he said, a gnat's eyeball. He said, I'm not a healer. He said, God does the healing. See, too many people, they want to be something. It's one of the things it's one of the things I can say for Kenneth Hagin. He was always a very humble man about the things. He always recognized that God's working in things, what God does. He never thought he was something big and special. It was God was big and special. In fact, he wouldn't allow other people at their meetings and that stuff to introduce him. He said these people come out and they say all this stuff and all these flowery things about me and that stuff. He said, oh, they come along and say he's a great man of God. He said, no, he said, I'm not a great man. He said, I'm a man with a great God. That's what I am. He wouldn't let people introduce him. He would usually have his son introduce him at meetings and that stuff when he was holding meetings and that kind of stuff. But he said, I don't want none of that. We don't need none of that. You know, we butter up people to make them more than they are. And then we talk about, let's praise God. And we do very little praise of God and give more praise to people than we do of God, you know. And so we see here, of a characteristic here, one of the things is understanding about spiritual maturity is you coming to the place to recognize the working of God. That God's the one. If there's any gifting in you, it's God. If you take the gifting away, now it's just you. See, I recognize the fact of I wasn't a teacher, not till 1982. I became a teacher in July, the end of July, the third week, right at the end of the third week it was on a Saturday in July, the anointing came on me to teach. Before that, I didn't have the anointing to teach. I didn't have that. And it changed. I mean, it changed everything. I always thought it was absolutely remarkable because things would come to me about teaching, about putting things together. I started seeing things in the Word for teaching and stuff, and I thought, wow, this is really... And I always felt so sorry because I knew other people called the ministry and some people who wanted to be in the ministry, I think, but I don't think they had any gift. See, some people thought they could go to school and get a gift. You don't get a gift school. You get a gift and then go to school. You know, if you ain't got one, you can't... Somebody can teach you all the stuff they want to teach you, but if you don't have that grace, it's just you doing it. That's what it is. And I always recognized the fact that I had a teaching gift from God because it never did this before till I got this. To me, I always thought it was so strange. To me, I feel so sorry for people that have to struggle to get a message together. I got to sometimes figure out which one do we preach. My God, because there's about 47 things we could, woo, yeah, you know. My word. So the Bible says, be ready in season and out of season. The anointing's on you, you can. There's no such thing. Somebody, well, you know, I can't preach, I can't. Man, I'll tell you what, just tell me to preach, we'll do it. dare God. Because why? God wouldn't have said to be able to do that, He wasn't going to anoint me to do it. Say, do you know what you're going to preach? Sometimes, no, I ain't got a clue. Sometimes I don't have a clue. But I don't have to have a clue about it. I know the anointing. I know it. And it'll work. The anointing will work. God will do His thing. Isn't it interesting? You find with Joseph, did he try to figure out what the interpretation is going to be? He said, no, God will give you the answer. Well, he knew God was going to give the answer through him, but he said, God's going to give the answer. See, he knew the anointing that was on him. He knew it. And he knew it would work. I always felt so bad. We had the pastor I sat under for years and some years, and always felt so sorry. He always tried to work. He never yielded his gifting. He always tried to come up with his messages. And he would always just struggle and struggle. And I used to think, my God. I used to feel bad for him because, I mean, he just, my words, trying to get a sermon together. But he never yielded to his gift. He never yielded to his gifting. You know, he'd say, you know, God calling the pastor. Well, he called you a pastor. He wouldn't give you a message. A pastor's supposed to feed the flock. Sure enough, you're going to have something good to say. Something that's going to help me. Something, dear Lord. Wouldn't God be stupid? Put you in there and then not tell you, not give you any food for the sheep. No, we're going to starve them out for the next 10 weeks. You know, just... Well, you know God's going to give you something to minister. I mean, that's, what's the point of the gift? So, hallelujah. So, don't ever think, you know, you can't try to be what somebody else is. You can't do that. You can't, it's not something you drum up. You find what God's called you and where you're anointed at, and you can begin to see things. There's things about it that as you go along, there's other areas besides that that I'm anointed in. But you have to find out, learn to yield to things and learn to yield that anointing. You have, it's like over the years, I've had to do things of confessing concerning the anointing that's on me. And it wasn't for God's sake, it was for my sake to get me over to the areas of faith of believing that I was going to, that I would walk in that, is get myself into the area that I'd yield to it. See, I don't care what God said or ever prophesied to somebody through you to do. If that isn't on your voice and you ain't talking to move in that direction, you'll never see it come to pass. It'll never happen. You got to head in that direction. You got to go there. See, lots of people say, well, you know, you prophesied this. Most people have people have stuff prophesied to them, they'll never see it come to pass. Because they think just because it was said, it's going to take place. No, it don't. It don't happen that way. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't matter what's prophesied. You have to receive it and believe it's true. Start, and you've got to start confessing that that's the truth, that is, that's true. You know, it's just like the things with healing. You know, the Bible says, you know, by His stripes you were healed. You can't get a person confessing that they are healed. You can't get them saying that. And they never come to pass. You know, His words are written down in a book. But when they'll walk around and talk about all their problems and how bad they feel, and they're just going to do that, and they're going to keep talking. Well, that's what they're going to have. You've got to talk these things and keep saying them till you become convinced of them. There's some things, I mean, for years, I mean, there was one of the things that the Lord spoke to me about when I was first born again. And some years later, in fact, I was in Bible school when I had gotten away from it, you know, because you get over to things. Sometimes, you know, God shows you stuff, and if you don't watch it and don't stay with it, after a while, you let those things slip, and you think, you know, well, you know, maybe I was just having I just thought God said that, or I just, you know, maybe that was just me. You know, I that was my own thought. That was my own. And you get over to there, and while I was at Rainbow, we were in a prayer meeting, and the minister that was overseeing the prayer meeting, he just stopped, and everybody's praying. He said, there's somebody here. He said, God spoke to you years ago about something, and he said, you've let slip, and he said, you've let it go. And I'll never forget standing there. I was kneeled down. I got up more. I was praying. I was standing there praying. And I thought about when he said it, this thought went through my mind. Well, I wonder who that is. And it turned out I was the guy. And the Lord spoke to me about it. He told me and rebuked me over it, said about letting it slip. And he said, don't you ever forget that. Don't you ever. I called you to that, to fulfill that. Well, I always knew it was in toward the last end days that those things would come to pass, but it was one of those things. See, it requires faith to bring those things to pass. And so, just continue speaking them things. And, I mean, they're alive and real to me today, and I know that, I know it'll take place. I know that they'll take, I know for sure it'll take place. But the reason I know it is because I've gotten over believing it and saying it and saying it and believing it. And so, and that there's the whole thing. You got to learn to do that concerning and the gift of God in you. You got to learn to talk. You, the devil will want to get you over wondering whether or not you're called. He'll get you over to wondering whether or not, you know, you ought to be doing what you're doing or whatever else. He'll get you wandering into there. And if he can take you to that place, you'll start confessing your wanderings. That's what you'll start doing. You'll start getting over into there. After a while, you'll find your faith weakened. You'll get thinking on those thoughts about the things and not staying, keeping yourself under. This is where I'm heading. See, one of the things that I've learned to keep, it's one thing the Lord spoke to me when I was first a young Christian. He told me, I knew I was called to full time, to be in the full time ministry. I knew it. To be in full time ministry. And the Lord always told me to stay away from business things. Stay away from those. You're called to the ministry. And along the way, people tried their best to try sometimes getting me over to business things. Oh, you ought to get over into this, and you ought to do that. You could make money doing this. You could do. People tried. And the Lord had told me, don't. So I really made an effort. Stay away from people getting involved in things. I'm not. He told me, you stay over in the areas of ministry. You, that's your place. You stay there. And so you have to learn to do, find out your place, what you're supposed to do. You know, there's other people, they get involved in certain things. Well, you know, whatever God tells them to do. But you have to know for yourself, keep yourself in focus. God will tell you the things that you need to know. And those things that you need to do, you don't decide for yourself. This is what I ought to do, or that's what I ought to do. Because I tell you, I watch people who made decisions of things, and it shipwrecked the call of God in their life. And they ain't gonna, they never ended up in what God called them to do. They get over into things. Some things you can get into are hard to get, ever get out of. You get into things you wish you'd have never got into, and things the effect it brings. You know? You get somebody that isn't real good in maturity, and you get them over in the areas where they can get hold of a lot of money, it's going to be hard to get them out of there if God didn't want them in it, and to get them over if God wanted them in the ministry. They'll stay with the money. People will do that. So you got to be very careful. There's things about, I was always very careful about those things. I was always very careful about the things. My whole life, I never made a decision based on a job or anything like that that would affect me from being not able to minister if opportunities came. Why? That's what I'm called to. I got to practice my gift. You ain't got any skill in it, have any skill in a gift if you don't ever practice it. You ain't got any skill in an anointing if you don't ever practice it. You're never skilled into it. Anointing just don't work. If it did, man, that'd be great. I mean, I just, dear Lord. But it don't. You got to get skill in it. The more you learn to yield to it, the more you learn in those areas of how to do that. It's just like the teaching anointing of my words. I mean, I started out, I was a line upon line teacher. And then the Lord told me, He said, I want you to start to go over to teach. He said, I want you to teach more by inspiration. He said, I don't want you to teaching line upon line. He said, I want you to go over that. Well, I'll tell you, that was a new experience for me, and it took me time to get myself over where I would just yield to that. Because sometimes, I mean, I can do all kind of study. I have all kind of notes. And I have no clue what I'm going to do on Sunday morning, what I'm going to do together. I just have some things, and I can put things in a bulletin, but, you know, sometimes I put some good ideas in there, you know. But I may not go there at all. And you know what? I ain't worried about that at all. I'm not worried about that in the least. Now, one time that would bother me. I thought, whoa, you know, I think about it. Now it's like, who cares? You know, I go, God will show me. He'll show me what it'll work. It'll work. I got to yield. The gift in me will produce what it is. It's God. If he can't make this thing work, then he ain't who he said he was. He ain't here as big. So, you know, we don't have to worry about him at all. But you don't start off like that. You start off self-conscious. Oh, yeah. Oh, what if this don't work? What are they going to think of me? I don't even care anymore. What I want to know is what God's going to think of me when this is all over. Because I go to bed at night, it's me and him. Ain't none of the people around. Then he's going to discuss with me. He's going to talk to me about it. Talking to you ain't nothing. It's what he's going to say. So you go over and say, well, we want to go with what he says. Hallelujah. One of the things we want to see about this, in this here, and we'll finish this up. Joseph didn't become bitter or angry because of what happened to him. So we find this out. We go to Genesis 45. Here we find that he didn't remind his brothers about the dream that he had when they came to him in Egypt. He didn't remind them. Hey, see, they came to him. They ended up bowing down to him more than once. In fact, the last time they came, they laid prostrate before him. But he didn't say, "You guys remember what the dream was? I told you guys." But in Genesis 45 and verse 7, I want to read here. Here's where he came to the place. In verse 5 of 45, he says, "But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here." See, now what a quality to have. You know, right now, from the time that he was 17 till now that this takes place, he was 30 years old when he took the job. Now another 7 years have passed. He ain't mad at nobody. He sees the work of God. See, this is one thing. You'll lose your way in this future if you let distractions of things that happened or didn't happen become things that set to what you're going to do. You got to be able to see the work of God to keep you on track. Because lots of times, when I look back, you know, when the Lord spoke to me some things, he reminded me of Kenneth Hagin, where he had said to Kenneth Hagin, he said, "I called you to teach my people faith." He said, "I allowed you to go through things that you went through," he said, "so you could do it." In other words, there's experiences and things that he had. And they weren't great, wonderful things that happened. There were things along the way that happened. But he learned to walk by faith because of them. And you know, when I look back in my life, the Lord spoke to me about that. And then he said to me, he said, concerning teaching, and he told me to teach faith. And he said, "I allowed you in the same way to go through things." See, one of the things, he would never allow me to let somebody else pray for me for healing. Never allow him. He'd always tell me, "Don't you know? You learn to stand. You learn to stand." Why? To learn how it works so I can tell people. When we started the church, he said this to me. He said, "You tell people that if they will listen to what you say and do what you say, they'll get healed every time. If they'll listen to it." That's one of the hardest things to do, is get people to listen to it. People have their religious ideas and you teach things and they don't really listen lots of times to what you say about stuff. But see, understand this about faith. There's three parts of faith. There's the believing in your heart part. There's the saying with your mouth part. And there's the doing part. And if you don't have all three of them, you ain't got, it don't matter what you did with the other two. If you don't have all three of them, it ain't working. And most people, lots of people, you can get them over, they'll believe it's true. They either have a hard time keeping their mouth straight, or they won't do or act like what they believe is actually happened to them. They're only going to believe they got what God gave them when they see it. No, faith acts like you got it when you can't see it. If you aren't acting like you have it when you can't see it, you do not have faith. You don't have faith. Your faith is dead. James said, faith without work, or faith without corresponding action. Faith with no work in it, it don't work. Faith don't work. In other words, you act like it's true. Faith is about, when you know this, when you can't see it, you need faith. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is what you do till it becomes seen. Then you don't need faith anymore. When you see it. So why would you want to have to see it to talk about having faith? If you can see it, you don't need faith. Faith is about what you can't see. Walking around acting like you got what you can't see. Ed acting like he got a message for Sunday when he don't know what it is. But I'm acting in faith. Well, that's why I've learned to do that. I act in faith. I thank God. I've done many Sunday mornings. I'm standing down there worshiping. I just, "Lord God, when I get up there, the anointing's going to come on me. And I want to know what to do." Hallelujah. I want to know what to do. And sometimes I think I got the message and I say the same thing. "Lord, I stepped up there. I'm going to know what to do." But sometimes I step up there and it ain't till I get up there it changes. I got great ideas. But that's what you want. That's, it takes faith. If I have everything figured out that I go up there, I don't need any faith to go up there. Most people don't want a date. They like a faith thing. They like the thing of, I have it all planned out. I know what I'm going to do from beginning and I got my message figured. I know what how I'm going to minister when it's over. Sometimes I know it did. Sometimes I have vision and I see people I'm going to minister to at the end of the service. Sometimes I know middle of the week. I'll see something I'm going to do at the end of the service. And I'll see it. Well, that's nice. But I still don't know what we're going to do in the middle of the service. What are we going to do there? But see, but the Lord sometimes will show you, and other times He don't show you nothing at all. And He doesn't. Why? You have to walk by faith. That's the only way you can please Him. Anything else don't please Him. To know everything you're going to do, that doesn't please Him. It's when you can trust Him without... That doesn't mean you don't study. I study. You study, you know the Word. Because the Holy Spirit can't lead you any further than you know the Word. He can't lead you any further than that. So you always want to know the Word. You always want to stay close to the Word. Hallelujah. In Genesis 45 and verse 5, it says, "But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life." He said, God sent me here. It wasn't you guys. You guys thought you didn't. You didn't do it. He recognized the work of God. God got him to where He wanted him to go. He didn't find this out at the end. He started to see things. He started to know things. Look, for these 2 years, the famine has been in. There are already 2 years in the famine, he said, in the land. And there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. He said, God sent me here to save you guys. You guys sent me down to kill me. He said, no, this was God's work. God sent me down here to save you. Now he's happy about it. He's not upset about it. He sees the work of God. He sees what God's doing. You know, I often wondered, I know some of the stories that Kenneth Hagin told about things and that kind of stuff of things that he went through. You know, some stuff, you know, you just sit down and read your scriptures and Apostle Paul, what Paul went through. But Paul, one of the things, Paul could always see the hand and work of God and what God was doing. That's why Paul could sit in prison and write such good letters. And see, you need to come. That there's a sign of spiritual maturity. Today we have this thing. As soon as somebody gets persecuted and stuff, get an attorney. You know, we get attorneys and we'll fight the government to do this and that. This is what we do. This is American Christianity. We know very little about understanding what God's trying to bring to pass. It's concerning our president today. Most Christianity don't understand at all what God wants to bring to pass and wants to do. They're so focused in on the fighting and stuff and things that are going on, they have no vision of what God's doing and what God's carrying out. You need to understand these things. See, you need to have vision into these things. God will speak to it. But people are stuck to all this fussing and fighting and stuff going on. They ain't going to find out. God can't talk to you in the midst of all that rot because that stuff becomes important to you. And you carry it, drag it over into your prayer life. They're fussing and carrying on. You drag this stuff in and not understanding God's plan and God's purpose. See, you never want to lose your joy. So we know this concerning Joseph, that Joseph never lost his joy. He couldn't have. If he lost his joy, he'd have quit. Just like so many people do. Oh, well, you know, treat me bad. What on earth? Look what they did to me. To hang with them. Remember that dream, guys? Remember? You're going to bow for it? Hey, you're doing it, dude. Now he says, you guys, don't be angry. Don't be upset about this thing. You think he'd be telling him not to be upset. But he's telling them, don't be angry. Don't be mad at yourself about what's going on. If you go over and read the story of how many times those guys believed they were being punished down in Egypt because of them doing what they did to him. And the whole time, see, they're guys without a vision. God gave them the vision by their brother and they didn't pay attention to it. The vision was before them. They threw it out, didn't pay any attention. They threw it out. It was given. The two dreams. What was going to happen? These knuckleheads thought they could kill Joseph and stop the plan of God. They thought they were pretty big, I guess. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. God's big. God's able to bring to pass what He told you He would do. He'll bring it to pass. He will bring it to pass. And you get to think, don't matter about obstacles, whatever happens in the way. Well, if you believe God told you something, He must bring it to pass as long as you believe it. If He don't, He's a liar. You kind of come to that place where, gee, is God lied? See, people come up with all kinds of, well, this happened or that happened. God, I've heard people say, well, God wanted to do this, but this person did this. And now God's not going to be able to do that. No, He's not going to be able to do that because He can't get you to shut up. He can't get you to say the right thing. He spoke to you about what He wanted to do, not them. It's not their voice that's going to change it. It's not their believing. It's what He spoke to me. I don't care what you do. You get in the way, you'll get run over. It's like, dear Lord. It doesn't matter. But see, people turn around, they start doing it. Get over in your minds, get over there. No, God said He was going to do it. He'll bring it to pass. He said it. He'll bring it to pass. He'll do it. Don't matter what changes that happens in between, that doesn't change God. All that happened with that, with Joseph, all those things that seemed like the roadblocks would bring everything to a halt, brought nothing to a halt. Every time, Joseph kept climbing to the top. Every time, he kept climbing to the top. Because he never lost his integrity. Never lost his integrity. He stayed with it, and God just taking him up to the ladder. I mean, Joseph really came to the place where he was running Egypt. Really, he was the greatest nation at that time on the face of the earth, and he's running it. A sheep herder. Could God put you in a position? See, we today, we have, in America, most Americans, they're thinking all about, oh, if I just got the right education, if I got the... No, you need to do the will of God. He can put you in a place or in a position. He can do it. Everybody said, well, I got to do that. If He told you to do it, fine. But if He didn't, you get over doing it, you mess the whole thing up. And after a while, He's got you and your big brain and He can't get nothing done. Find out what He wants you to do. Then do that. Do whatever it is. Whatever He told you. There's things that He'll tell you. And there's one thing you're going to find this out. This is the way faith operates. God will tell you that. It used to bug me. I used to wonder why. When I first got born again, God told me all kinds of things about my future. And it used to really bug me because, you know, I started off as a young Christian. I thought this thing's coming to pass next week. And then didn't come to pass. And you mature as go along and you have to learn. In maturity, you start to learn to be able to see what's ahead and what is out there. Because in the spirit, things can look like they're right on top of you that are way out there yet. And you have to learn to discern spiritually what's going on. And as you mature, you learn. And at first, it used to aggravate me. I'd say, Lord, why do you show me this stuff? But see, what He wants me to do is start to talk those things into existence. So when I get there, I am ready for them. Because if you don't, you're not going to be ready. Your faith about that will be your guide into doing a lot of things what will cause you to step into that. I didn't know that when I was young, but I learned that. I realized today there's a lot of things you're going to have to confess way out in advance to prepare and get ready for. And when you'll be ready, when you believe it, He'll do that, and you'll prepare yourself and you'll get ready. When your time comes to step in, you'll be ready for it. You believe, you set that thing in motion. Really, our faith sets our future in motion. Our future out here. Your future is going to be set by your faith. Set by your faith. If you're not speaking things concerning your future, you don't have one coming. Most people are, you know, I came out of Christianity was that people say we just live in day by day. You know, we just go day by day. Well, you know, your faith is always trying to bring something to pass. Do you ever notice that? Faith isn't about what's right here, right now. Faith is about what you believe is here, but it ain't here yet. You're believing it is. You said, you're confessing it's here, but it ain't here yet. It's about your future. And see, like when the Lord talked to me about finances, He wanted me to change the way I did things. He said, I want you to have finances ready for you when you get there. That you're not get into a position and now we got to believe God for money. I want you to start to set yourself on your future and start calling money in that's out there. That's when he told me he started to believe. That's when he set the thing with me and he said, I want you to believe for $5,000. When that comes in, I want you to believe for $10,000. When that comes in, I want you to believe for $20,000. Keep doubling it every time. Keep doubling the amount. He said, I want you to start to have out there believing, not waiting till something comes. I want you to be calling money in before you ever need it. See, he commended me the fact when I needed money, I knew how to get it. He said, you do good. He said, you're good at that. But he said, that's not my best. He said, I want you to start having money ready for you in advance. In other words, we're setting things in the future. So when you arrive at a place, you're ready for it. So this is one thing. If you want to do that, then you better learn to be a giver because you're giving money in advance for what you're wanting out there. And if you only give money at the time that it is, forget it. It won't be there when you get there. You understand what I'm saying? See, this is why. See, it's a life of faith. It is. It's a life of faith. Most of us operate at the time we see the need. We don't get out there. See, I learned to walk in divine health, but I learned to walk because I want health in the future. So I learned how to keep it. You know, when I get to next week, there's health waiting for me. And the week after, there's health waiting. See, you learn how to do that. If you just live day by day, you wait till something comes and then I'm gonna. You don't want to do that. You're setting things out there and you do that by your voice. That's why God shows you things out in advance. Because He wants you to start talking them and you start saying them. You start preparing it out there. So when you come to there, you're ready to walk into it. Hallelujah. You gotta learn to do that. And, you know, I sure didn't know a lot about that, some of that kind of stuff, and over time. And in fact, I never really had anybody teach me much about that or talk about it. I never had. Brother Hagin mostly taught from a standpoint of faith. You know, yeah. I learned some things from it from him on the areas of divine health, but I think he mostly taught from, because most of the time he was dealing with people just trying to get them into the area of faith, to try to get a hold of something. But there's things that the Lord dealt with me. He's like in 2014, He dealt with me with finances, about future finances, about getting out there where you have it always coming in. There's always money coming. So when you get to the place in life, you have money coming. It's getting yourself sitting right. He told me, he said, this is my perfect will. This is my perfect will. He said that you're always working out there in advance. That's my perfect will. So in other words, what I'm doing, that's what pleases Him. I'm operating out there in the place of faith before it happens. I'm operating in faith. In other words, that's what He likes. That's His perfect will. It's nothing strange. Hallelujah. But it's being ready for it. Hallelujah. And so that's what we're doing. And see, that's what sowing and reaping is about, isn't it? Like the farmer he plants seed. He doesn't see it come up right away and he's harvesting something in. He's not. He's doing it ahead of time. In the fall, he's going to bring something in. He's turning around putting money out ahead where he don't see it coming in right away. That's going to come in the future. And so we're doing that, but we do it with our faith as we begin to sit out there and do them. And so you can get out there where you're years in advance, where you're out there and you're planning and have this thing going, and it's a wonderful thing. It's running. Hallelujah. You want to do that. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Let's close in prayer. Father, I just want to thank you tonight, Lord God, for your word. Thank you for speaking thus these things. Lord God, I just appreciate the wonderful examples you give us in the word. I just thank you concerning Joseph, Lord God. The wonderful example that we can look up of an individual, Lord God, that can help us in our walk and help us, Lord God, because Lord God, we sure want to walk in that kind of character. Hallelujah. And I thank you didn't show us these things because it's something we can't have and it's so hard to get. It's not hard to get. Lord God, I thank you we develop and grow and we'll walk in these things. Hallelujah. You're developing us, Lord God. You're setting us in motion, Lord God, so you can reveal your glory and show yourself and your power. And we thank you for all you're going to accomplish and do in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.